for argument is Novy v. Astru. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff, Patricia Novy. In this claim, the administrative law judge's decision failed to mention a relevant listing of impairments under the Social Security regulations, listing 12.05. In addition, the ALJ's decision does not discuss any of the requirements or the elements of this listing. The ALJ's finding at step three of the sequential evaluation process dealing with whether or not a listing of impairment is met consists of one conclusory sentence with no analysis. This type of step three finding has been held by this court in numerous cases at this point to be insufficient and to make it impossible for the court to provide meaningful judicial review, therefore requiring reversal.
Did you suggest to the ALJ that the mental retardation listing applied in this case or was met?
Counsel did not suggest that to the ALJ. However, the commissioner did not raise that issue before the district court, and I believe that defense would be waived, but it was not raised before the ALJ.
The ALJ went to substantial length to adopt the opinions of the psychological experts in this case that verified that your client's testing placed her in, I think it's called the low borderline range, which is the term of art in the field.
That's correct.
And doesn't that implicitly rule out a mental retardation listing?
No, it does not. And the reason is that the listing does not require an outside diagnosis of mental retardation. Listing 12.05 is the only mental health listing, and I believe the only listing, that includes its own definition of the diagnosis. In the introduction to the mental health listings at 12.00, paragraph A, the commissioner states specifically that the structure for listing 12.05 is different than that for all the other mental health listings because it includes an introductory paragraph with a diagnostic description. The regulation goes on to say, quote, if your impairment satisfies the diagnostic description in the introductory paragraph and any of the four sets of criteria, we will find that your impairment meets the listing. So what the ALJ was required to do in this case...
I'd say that. The IQ score indicates severity, but the introductory paragraph seems to require some additional evidence of retardation.
I don't believe that it says that, Your Honor.
Well, what we said in the Mendes case, which you cited, is, you know, we pointed out, we said it's something of a puzzle that the regulations require more than valid IQ test results to demonstrate mental retardation. But the explanation may lie in the fact that, you know, an IQ of 70 is at the borderline between retardation and normal if low mental ability. And we pointed out that that states have adopted criteria for retardation that require more than just the IQ test.
That's correct. The problem in this case...
Isn't that what the Social Security Commission is doing?
Well, no, because the problem is that the ALJ doesn't discuss those other criteria. The one criteria...
Well, he offers a judgment that she's really not, you know, incapable of functioning, even though she has the low IQ, so...
But at step three, there isn't a global assessment that's supposed to be made. At step three, if you meet the requirements of a listing, then the commissioner has to find you disabled.
That's the question. Is the requirement that you have to have significantly sub-average general intellectual functioning with deficits, etc.?
Correct.
Plus the 60 through 70 IQ.
That's correct.
Do you need both of those?
You need both of those.
Well, but didn't he find? I mean, she satisfies the IQ requirement, IQ
correct.
69. But this first paragraph, can't the ALJ find? Because he has to do that first. That she has this significantly sub-average functioning deficits and so on. And he seemed not to find that. He seemed to find that, no, she didn't have those, right?
Oh, actually, he doesn't discuss that.
Well, doesn't he?
A finding of borderline intellectual functioning is not a finding that a claimant does not have significantly subaverage intellectual functioning. It may well be a finding that a claimant does have significantly subaverage intellectual functioning. He never finds that Ms. Novy did not have.
How many children did she have?
She had four children.
And were they all living with her?
I believe they were all living with her.
And how does the family function? Was she able to control them quite well?
Well, the record shows that all four children were in some type of special education in school with either cognitive problems and or behavioral problems. The record also shows that Ms. Novy, on multiple occasions, was dealing with social service agencies in an attempt to get help.
But she was able to control them, wasn't she?
Well, the record doesn't say.
And function normally?
Well, no, the record doesn't show that. The record shows that, in fact, she had, that her children had significant problems, that she could do some things, but an IQ of 70 doesn't preclude somebody from being able to go to the store.
Did she know enough to go out and get help to take care of those children or those problems that you're reciting?
She did try to get some help for her children, yes.
Oh, she's functioning quite normally in that respect, isn't she?
Well, I'm not sure that knowing that you need help means that you're functioning normally.
And going out to get the help.
Well, having going out to get the help, yes.
Having the knowledge and the judgment to decide that there is a problem and then going out to get the help.
Well,
I would consider that.
That's one aspect of this woman's mental health functioning.
Right.
The issue, as plaintiff sees it, is that the ALJ does not discuss adaptive deficits in his decision, and adaptive deficits covers a wide range of activities.
What does that term mean?
Well, the Social Security regulations don't define it. The DSM-4, which the American Psychiatric Association publishes, well, the DSM-4 includes...
What's the DSM-4? What is your understanding of what it means?
Difficulties in functioning in varying areas of life, which includes...
Well, but the ALJ cites this state agency report, which says, talks about her mixed and borderline intellectual functioning and would interfere with the performance of complex tasks. But she retains the capacity to perform and sustain, whatever that means, simple tasks. Well, isn't that...
Well, I would say a limitation to performing simple tasks shows adaptive deficits because most people can perform more than simple tasks. The ALJ also limits the claimant to minimal interaction with other people. That shows adaptive deficits because most people aren't limited to minimal interaction with other people. So, again, the ALJ's decision just doesn't discuss the evidence in light of the requirements of the listing.
Do any of the agencies that she contacted, and the doctors who were treating them agree with your theory?
I can't really answer that question because none of them were asked.
The brief reads as follows.
The question.
From the government's brief, but none of the medical sources concluded that she was mentally retarded, while as many as 9 of them found that she suggested she had.
Well, that's correct, and that comes back to
But does she have any medical testimony to support her theory?
Well, yes, because her theory is that the listing does not require a diagnosis of mental retardation. The listing...
Now we're going in reverse. Does she have any medical testimony to support the theory that you're purporting to us?
Yes, absolutely. There's an IQ test showing that her IQ is 69. Well, yes. I mean,
the IQ test alone won't do it.
No, but there's evidence that she has an eighth grade education and...
That doesn't matter. That doesn't
matter. What does that mean? Because a lot of people have an eighth grade education.
Well, it makes a difference in looking at significantly subaverage intelligence.
A really retarded person couldn't get as far as the eighth grade.
Well, she didn't have an eighth grade. She wasn't functioning at the eighth grade level. She was in special education until the eighth grade. She was functioning at a much lower level than that.
What level?
Fourth grade reading level. Sixth grade math level, which is consistent with mild mental retardation under the DSM-4.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you,
thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Schultz?
May it please the Court, Gary Schultz on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security.
Well, what does adaptive deficits mean?
Well, Judge Posner, adaptive deficits refers to the ability, the extent to which the individual is limited in their ability to function. But, I mean, that's a very shorthand sort of an answer to your question. But I think that, I mean, I think it's a shorthand that doesn't reveal the complexity of the analysis that is required in order to decide whether adaptive deficits are at the level that establishes mental retardation. And if I can just read one sentence from the DSM, which talks about this, it says, adaptive functioning refers to how effectively individuals cope with common life demands and how well they meet the standards of personal independence expected of someone in their particular age group, socio-cultural background, and community setting. That's the sort of a judgment that I think requires training and it requires expertise. I don't think it's a matter of just saying this person has trouble with this activity, this person has trouble with that activity. And that's why I think that one of the very crucial facts in this case is that all of the medical sources who offered opinions in this record, none of them concluded that Ms. Novy was mentally retarded. And as Judge Coffey was alluding to, and as our brief argues, there are many, there are really as many as nine who indicated a diagnosis of either borderline intellectual functioning or indicated a possible diagnosis of borderline intellectual functioning. There were some medical sources who also suggested a possible learning disorder or learning disability, but none suggested mental retardation, let alone made such a diagnosis. And that includes the doctors who administered the various tests.
Well, now, is mental retardation, what's the definition of mental retardation?
Well, SSA's listing 1205 contains a diagnostic description of mental retardation.
So it's adaptive deficits, is that?
Well, in that, the description says that mental retardation refers to significantly sub-average general intellectual functioning, which I think is generally measured by the IQ score, with deficits in adaptive functioning initially manifested during the developmental period.
So the adaptive we have the IQ test, so the adaptive deficits is clear, is critical, and it's. And the only definition is the one in the diagnostic, whatever that DSM stands
for. Well, I mean, and I don't know that that's the only definition, but I think that that's a indication of the sort of definition that the medical community uses.
Fuzzy.
I'm sorry, Judge?
Awfully fuzzy.
Well, and I think that it's, I mean, to me, it's a complicated description, and that
well,
I think...
you say complicated, I say fuzzy.
And I think that either way you describe it, I think it reinforces the importance of giving weight to that of medical professionals, the judgment of medical professionals, as to whether the claimant has that level of adaptive deficits. And that's what the ALJ did here. The ALJ made a specific finding.
Well, she clearly has. So if you look at this definition, she clearly has significant sub-average general intellectual functioning. That's shown by the IQ test. So the deficits in adaptive functioning must be the critical part of the plus the age 22. So you have to show, or she has to counter, she has to show deficits in adaptive functioning. So what would that consist of? What would satisfy you as to a a deficit in adaptive functioning?
I really don't know that I can answer that question, Judge Posner.
Surely there must be some cases where the Social Security Administration recognizes deficits in adaptive functioning and gives the person benefits, no?
Absolutely.
All right, so what would that kind of case be? Suppose you have someone with an IQ of 69. What deficits in adaptive functioning would the person have to show in order to get benefits?
I mean, I think that the best indication that the person has the required level of deficits in adaptive functioning would be a medical source opinion, a doctor saying that this person is mentally retarded.
So what deficits would the doctor point to?
I think he wouldn't just give
a conclusion, she's retarded, right? He has to find deficits.
So what would be
an example of such a deficit?
I don't know that I can...
Well, I don't understand you. This is the critical issue in the case. You don't know what a deficit in adaptive functioning is.
I think I've tried to explain.
No, you haven't. You haven't given an example of a deficit in adaptive functioning.
I'm not sure that I'm in a position to say...
Well, of course you are. You're the lawyer for the Social Security Administration.
I mean, Judge Posner, the DSM language talks about...
You tell me an example of a person who has an IQ of 69 and who is retarded because he or she has these deficits of adaptive functioning. And your answer would be, well, the deficits might be X, might be Y, might be Z. If you have no idea what a deficit is, then you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm not the fact finder in this case, and I'm obviously not a doctor.
You're supposed to explain to us what is going on here. What is an example of someone who qualifies for benefits because of the existence of deficits of adaptive functioning? Right, you have two people. You have her, IQ 69. You say she's not retarded. Now give me an example of someone with IQ of 69 who is retarded.
Well, Judge, first of all, let me make clear. I'm not saying she's not retarded. The doctor said she's not retarded, and the ALJ accepted those findings. Now, I'll try to answer your question in a way I hope will satisfy you. But, I mean, the DSM does talk about specific skill areas. It talks about communication, self-care, home living, social interpersonal skills, use of community resources, self-direction. We talk about self-care.
How does she rate on those various?
Well, I think that, we can talk about a few of them. Self-care. I don't think there's any indication that she is unable to groom herself, that she shows up to doctors not properly dressed or clean. Those things may be the sort of adaptive deficit.
Maybe. You listed it as an example.
Listing that as a category.
Okay.
That would be an example. Home living.
Does she have anyone helping her with the kids?
The record indicates no.
She's taking care of children and herself. She lives by herself, with the kids.
She lives by herself. She performs, I think, all the household activities that that would involve cooking and cleaning and paying bills and shopping and laundry and those sorts of things. So I think those are some of the things that convince... I'm sorry?
Yeah, I agree.
So someone with low cognitive functioning below an IQ of 70 who is unable to live independently would manifest adaptive deficits, however that's defined?
Judge, I'm uncomfortable saying that because I'm not a doctor, but I think that would be a much more persuasive case than this one. Those would be the sorts of indicia that a psychiatrist or a psychologist would take into account in making the appropriate diagnosis.
Good.
Judge Posner referred a couple of times to the IQ scores, And in fact, there are IQ scores that are at the level of that the listing requires, 60 to 70, but the doctors who did administer those IQ scores did raise questions as to whether they were a correct indication as to her real intellectual capability. And so
did
although
they raise questions about all of the tests or just some of the tests?
Well, as I read the report, they raised questions as to all the tests. I think there was one sentence in the report that specifically raised serious questions about the full-scale IQ score, but there are two other sentences, which are quoted in my brief, in which seem to reflect questions as to the scores overall.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Schultz, do you have anything further? How much time does he have? 1 minute?
Again, one of the problems plaintiff believes exists in this case is that although the commissioner has set forth some areas where the claimant may have functioned more normally,
if she takes care of herself and takes care of four children, lives by herself, pays bills, otherwise, you know, would be kicked out or something, then why isn't that good evidence of retarded, she's got a low IQ?
The ALJ didn't address it. Secondly, one of her treating psychiatrists at page 186 of the record specifically states that this woman, because of her background, has only marginal life functioning.
But how is she able to live alone, then, with kids?
It's chaotic. She only has two bills. That's what the record shows. So she's not, like, paying all these bills. She only has two bills. She testified she goes to the grocery store and brings back the wrong things, even though she brings a list with her. She has trouble with directions. She doesn't know where she's going.
She's been functioning like this for many years. Now, granted, obviously, she's not
a diagnosis
great, but she is able to be able to live by herself and take care of four children who have not been removed, you know, by the Department of Children and Family Services, that argues for you know, some competence.
Except the ALJ, again, didn't address the question of adaptive deficits.
I don't think that's accurate. He described what she does and so on. He talked about her living by herself. Anyway.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel.